Right now, I'm joined by Ron Capps. Is Ron here? There's Ron. He's the author of Seriously Not All Right, 5 Wars in 10 Years. Capps served in the Army and Army Reserve for 25 years. He's also a retired Foreign Service officer for the Department of State. He served both branches in some of the world's deadliest places, wartime Kosovo, Darfur, Chad, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The horrors of what he witnessed and his inability to stop the death and bloodshed inflicted him with shakes, panic attacks, and severe depression. His memoir chronicles his wartime experiences and his struggles with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Capps is also the founder and director of the Veterans Writing Project, a nonprofit providing writing seminars for veterans and their adult family members. And Ron, welcome to Dakota Midday.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, the title of your book, now this comes from the way you monitored your mental health and Seriously Not All Right. That was the far end of the scale.
Yeah, when I was in Afghanistan, about halfway through this odyssey of 5 wars, I knew I needed to get some mental health care, and the Army psychiatrist on the base gave me instructions to sort of monitor how you feel every day. And it turned out to be sort of not just every day, but throughout the day. And you know, I'm not a doctor. I didn't have any real instructions on how to do that. So I came up with a scale of I feel all right, I feel vaguely not all right, or I feel seriously not all right. And once we had determined that that was how I was going to monitor this, after my publisher heard that, he went, okay, there's your title.
And how often were you feeling seriously not all right at that time?
About halfway through my tour in Afghanistan, I was mostly all the time seriously not all right. And that's when I knew I needed to get some help.
Now, before then, was there, you know, at what moment, was there a time in your service when you noticed that you were suffering from PTSD, or that you had some mental problems that you needed to deal with?
Yeah, it's not something that you just wake up in the morning and go, whoa, I have PTSD. It kind of creeps up on you. I knew after spending 2 years in Kosovo, most of the first part of that during the insurgency and leading into the bombing campaign, I knew after that I had been changed by that experience. And I talked to a psychiatrist for the State Department. He says, yeah, you know, based on your symptoms, you are developing, or you have a small amount of post-traumatic stress disorder. If it gets worse, let me know. And about a year later, I was in Afghanistan, and it got very much worse relatively quickly. And so after a period of time of having very severe symptoms of PTSD, I decided it was time to get help and went to the Army psychiatrist there.
Now, for you in the position that you were in, getting help is difficult because what that means for your career and your service.
Yeah, I mean, I was a field grade officer. I was a major at the time, getting ready to be promoted to lieutenant colonel. I had over 100 people working for me. I also had a top secret security clearance and would not have been able to work without that clearance. At that time, this was 2002, the Army was not as friendly, should we say, to senior officers with top secret clearances coming in and saying, I have PTSD or I have a mental health problem. It had my boss known about it, had the security teams known about it, I very likely would have lost my job. But my psychiatrist found a way to sort of keep that out of my, you know, permanent records, so to speak. And he treated me, and as long as I was in treatment, as long as I was making progress, he was willing to keep that away from the senior leadership so that I could stay at work.
Were you able to make progress? It seems like it's difficult to do that while you're still in the service.
Well, just being able to talk about what was going on with someone was hugely helpful initially. Plus, I immediately went on to medication. The medication doesn't take effect that day. It takes a couple of weeks. But just having a strategy, just having the opportunity to talk to someone about it, and knowing that I was, you know, that it wasn't just me dealing with this problem, then I now had a team, made a difference. And over a period of about the first 3 weeks, I started to see improvement.
You write in Seriously Not All Right, 5 Wars in 10 Years, that you felt that your PTSD was based on things left undone as much as anything that you'd seen or done. Why was that?
Well, what we're talking about here really is what Dr. Jonathan Shea and some of the people that he works with calls a moral injury. And it goes back to this idea of having committed an atrocity, having witnessed an atrocity, or having been unable to stop something. And in my case, it was an inability to stop the fighting, to stop the killing in places where that's what I was sent in to do, in places like Kosovo, in places like Rwanda, in Central Africa, where we were told, make these people stop killing each other. And of course, you can't do that. And so after about 5 years of that, I started really suffering from this, from what my doctors called PTSD or an adjustment disorder, really because my brain could not process all the things that I'd seen and all the things that I'd not been able to do. And so I think that for a lot of people, post-traumatic stress disorder can be brought on by some act that they witnessed or some act that they committed, that they took part in. For me, it was more the things that I couldn't do.
Now, the book goes through your chilling experiences in Kosovo, Darfur, Chad, Afghanistan, and Iraq, as we mentioned. How difficult was it for you to go back and write about your experiences in those places? Was there a concern about how that would affect your PTSD?
Well, it was terrifying, but it was the only thing that helped. I was in psychiatric care. I was taking medication. I was drinking too much. I was trying pretty much everything to get control of the traumatic memories in my head, and it wasn't working. And I found that by writing these things down, by taking control of them myself, I started to improve. And what I've learned along the way is that any of the creative arts, whether it's dance, drama, acting, two or three dimensional art, music, or writing, can help someone get control of the trauma in their life. And that's really sort of the second half of the story in Seriously Not All Right, that writing is how I started on the road home.
And how were you able to go back and accurately remember everything? Did you have notes and documents?
Yeah, that's one of the great questions of writing any memoir. Luckily, because I was a State Department officer and then a military intelligence officer, I took copious notes everywhere I went. And I have one of those plastic bins filled with my notebooks from a 10-year period. So I wrote the story first, and then I went back and did my sort of fact-checking. You know, oh, I thought it was in September when I was there. Oh, no, it was actually October. Plus, I went and talked to people who were my partners and my teammates at the time, spoke with them and said, hey, is this what you remember? And then I was able to do research with newspapers, television, because there were reporters around a lot. And so I was able to do a full range of research to make sure that what I was saying in the book was accurate.
Did the people that you served with, did they know that you were having troubles?
The vast majority did not. One of the things that was most kind of surprising to me was after the book came out, people writing me and saying, wow, I never knew. In Afghanistan, when things were really, really bad, I pulled my deputy aside, Captain Heather Simmons, and I said, look, I'm really struggling, and if I end up, you know, under the desk with a tinfoil hat talking to the satellites, I want you to take charge. And first thing would be to get me out of here. And so she was very competent and sort of nodded and said, okay, sir, we got it. And we went on. But other than that, I don't think most people knew.
In this book, you're very much bearing witness to the horrors of war. I'm wondering how important it is that for the many of us who've never served in the armed forces or witnessed the horrors of war, how important it is for us to read this and understand what happened and what went on.
I think it's critically important, particularly for the last two wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. We've had less than 1% of Americans take part in these wars. And that's the smallest percentage in American history. So, you know, when the Greeks came home from Troy, Greek culture demanded that each soldier stand in front of his neighbors and tell his story. This is what happened. And it really bear witness about the responsibility. You know, the civilian population sent the army to war, and when the army comes back, the army has to say, this is what it was like for us. This is what we did in your name. So I think it's absolutely critical that we do bridge this divide between the civilian and military populations.
Now, as I mentioned, you founded the Veterans Writing Project. How has that been helping veterans deal with their trauma, and then also helping those of us understand what happened during the service, during these wars?
Well, we're trying to do two things. Principally, we are a creative writing organization. We teach creative writing, but we also have an expressive writing, which is therapeutic writing program that we've developed with the Department of Defense, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Department of Veterans Affairs, where we teach this expressive writing to veterans and to service members to give them the tools to grab control of their trauma. But more broadly, the vast majority of the work we do is simple creative writing programming for veterans and for their family members to get them, to give them the skills and the confidence they need to tell their own stories. And then we publish this work in a literary journal that we call ODARK 30, and it's available online at odark30.org. People can read this writing to get it out in front of a larger population. We've had writing from World War II veterans, Korea, Vietnam, Cold War people, Iraq, Afghanistan, the Gulf War, Somalia, all across the spectrum. We're starting to get some foreign veterans send their works in, and of course, family members, because we really, really want to get the family members' story told, because that really helps to validate their experience as well.
So through writing, do you see this as being part of any sort of therapy that servicemen coming home, particularly those that are suffering from PTSD, that this works along with standard talking therapy and medication, that this is just another part of that?
I do that. I feel that exactly. And one of the things that we stress is that, you know, I have a degree in English literature, and I stand in front of these people and I say, look, I'm not a doctor. If you need help, go get it. We'll be here when you get back. But if you want to use writing as a complement or an alternative to traditional therapy, here's the tools to do so. We really encourage people to get help if they need it. You know, I got help, and I'm still here to talk about it. I became suicidal, and writing is what has brought me, what is bringing me home. I'm not fully there yet. It's very, very important that people use every tool available to them. Writing is what worked for me. The arts in any form can have the same effect that writing has as an alternative or a complement to traditional therapies.
Well, Ron Capps, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota
Midday.
It's
my great pleasure.